to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Here we go again. Saturday night, August 18th, we're coming to you in the political cesspool. From our flagship radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AMFM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm James Edwards. Very busy night. Very excited about tonight's show. We're jammed up and jelly tight, as Tommy Rowe might say. And, you know, between the times we're able to come to you live each week, between Saturday and Saturday, you know, that gives us a full week, a full 7 days for the cesspool to fill up again. And then we have to come in here for 3 hours every Saturday night and drain it. We got to, you know, navigate the murky waters of filth and excrement that's what we do. Hence the name, Political Cesspool. That's where we're in. And to help make sense of some of the stories. Now, we have got a lot of really, I believe, fascinating stories that we've been tracking on the website over the course of the last 7 days. We're gonna get through them all tonight before the time is up. And helping me do that is Keith Alexander.
Thank you, James. We really do intend to drain the swamp tonight. We've got a full week of blog posts that are great. Of course, everything is percolating here at the epicenter of the culture war in America, Memphis, Tennessee, and we're going to give you a behind the lines commentary on that as well.
Well, and jumping right from the frying pan and into the fire, let's get to it. I want to tell y'all about a Senate campaign in Minnesota. It was a Republican primary Senate campaign. And it featured a neoconservative, basically a Mitt Romney disciple. In the television ad that he was running last week, it featured him standing next to Mitt Romney at the opening of the ad. His name is David Carlson. All right. He lines up with the Mitt Romney side of the GOP. He is running against a guy for the Republican Senate primary in Minnesota by the name of Kurt Bills. And Kurt Bills is said to have an ideology that more closely resembles that of Ron Paul's. So you got David Carlson. He's the Romney guy, basically. Kurt Bills, he lines up with Ron Paul. Now, we're always talking about on this show how, in a seemingly increasing manner, the left resorts to sheer hysterical theatrics when it comes to trying to diminish that which we believe, try to negatively stigmatize it. You know, we stand up on this show. If you ask me what I would describe myself as, I would say a paleoconservative, a constitutionalist, better yet, a traditional American. I think the ideas that we espouse and advocate for on this radio program certainly mirror that of America from the 1950s and 60s, when America still had a moral rudder. Anyway, and you know, we get denounced as all sorts of things, which we're certainly not, from the benign racist, I mean, everybody that you disagree with is a racist in politics, all the way up to the super level, supercharged, hate-filled diatribes like neo-Nazi and this, that, and the other. Well, anyway, long story short, you get all of that in a 60-second television ad, the neocon running against the Ron Paul-type candidate. Listen to it for yourself, and then we'll make sense of it. Let's play it right now. This aired this week in Minnesota.
I am David Carlson, and I approve this message because you have the right to know.
Kurt Bills is a disciple of Ron Paul, and now he wants to be our U.S. Senator. What would America have looked like if we had President Paul and Senator Bills? Well, state rights first means no civil war to free the slaves. It means women and minorities aren't voting. We don't have integration in open schools. Kurt Bills' own school could be all male and white. Ron Paul even stated saving the Jews was absolutely none of our business, and that Adolf Hitler was initially a positive force for Germany. In Ron Paul's and Kurt Bills' America, black veterans who are unwanted in a restaurant can be told to leave. Ron Paul even said Luther King Jr. seduced underage girls and boys and was a gay pedophile. Kurt Bills, a devoted supporter of Ron Paul, has already had our Senate race called the most mismatched in America. Minnesota, let's make the battle for our Senate seat a serious race and not put up another unelectable radical candidate. Say no to Ron Paul and Kurt Bills.
Okay, that was the ad that David Carlson ran attacking Kurt Bills for being a Ron Paul supporter. So what is Ron Paul all about? He's a constitutionalist. He's a libertarian. And so they take that, the neoconservative wing of the Republican Party, and they equate that to being a supporter of Hitler, wanting to kill the Jews. You heard it all in that ad. So that's what you are, according to now even the more left-leaning segments of the Republican Party. That's what you are if you have even the slightest fiber of conservatism running through your veins. That truly was, as someone mentioned on our website in response to that article, that you know, David Carlson certainly wins the 2012 How Many Outrageous Claims Can You Pack Into 1 Minute Award. The good news is the election was held this week, and Kurt Bills, the Ron Paul supporter, won with 51% of the vote. Now, he will represent the Republican Party in the Minnesota Senate race going up against the Democratic incumbent. But anyway, Keith, the point is, and over to you for commentary, this is what you're subjected to or if you are a conservative, and it seems to only get increasingly more preposterous, the denunciations of the left.
You got to remember, too, this is a Republican Party establishment ad. This is what the Republican Party establishment thinks of somebody like Ron Paul, who has striven to be a good Republican, to remain in the party, not to go third party. This is what he gets in return for pulling all of those punches through the years. And as a result, what this is going to do is drive true conservatives further and further away from the Republican Party. The Republican Party is now basically, just like George Wallace said, it's Tweedledum to the Democratic Party's Tweedledee. There's not a dime's worth of difference between them. Basically, there are just some liberal talking points like Joe Biden talking about we want to put black people back in shackles and whatnot. It doesn't matter whether that has anything at all to do with the truth. What it has to do with is that they need to push the buttons of liberals and minority groups. That's what that whole article was about. They apparently thought that people in Minnesota were so crazy that they were going to believe that Ron Paul was, you know, wanting to fire up the gas chambers and wants to reinstitute slavery in America. See, this is exactly the type of this shows what happens when the sons of Israel run both parties, James.
Well, we're coming up on a break, and we'll turn it back to Keith for more commentary on that. And again, folks, we are just getting started. That is just the opening salvo in tonight's program. We've got many more stories equally heinous forthcoming. But, you know, I used to get annoyed 8 years ago when we started the show when I would get attacked in a similar fashion to that which Kurt Bills experience this week, but you just grow to come to expect it. You never like it, but it's just the way it is. I mean, they have no cards in their deck. The only thing they have to play with is absolutely absurd mischaracterizations of who you are and what you're about. And so you come to expect it, you move forward, you do your work, and hope that there are enough objective people with open minds to see you for what you are, and hopefully they'll support us.
What it also shows you, James, is that there is nothing at all to be gained from trying to pull punches. You need to go and be yourself because, quite frankly, no matter how many punches you pull, you're still going to be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, boys and girls, we're going to move from that bizarre ad in Minnesota that we just talked about. And again, thankfully, the so-called Ron Paul bigot guy won. We'll see how he fares in the general election. But it just goes to show, I mean, every now and then our people come through for us, and they're not, they don't fall for the trickery and the lies and the deceit of the left. And but from Minnesota, we're going to move over a little bit to the left, geographically speaking. And we're going to go to Montana. This story certainly rivals the first one we unveiled for you. I can tell you that much. Okay, so the voters of Montana, according to a recent census, 93% of the electorate in Montana are white. Okay? So the 93% white voting base of Montana elected a gentleman, and I use that term loosely, by the name of Brian Schweitzer to serve as their governor. He is a Democrat, even though Montana almost always goes red. He's a Democrat, and he is he cannot run again. He's term limited out after this November. He'll be gone. He was in New York recently to promote tourism to Montana. There is apparently a new direct flight from New Jersey to Bozeman, Montana. So the governor, Brian Schweitzer, was in the Big Apple to promote tourism to Montana. And when asked in an interview what he thought about the people of his state, keep in mind he is there to promote tourism, but he was there in New York. So I guess he fell under the spell and knew what he was supposed to say. When asked what he thought about the voters of Montana, the governor, Brian Schweitzer, said that, and these are his words, white racist rednecks. Now, 93% of Montanans are white. They voted this guy to be their governor, then reelected him. And after, I guess, nearly 8 years in office, the best thing he can say about the citizens of his state are that they are white racist rednecks. Now, who are they prejudice towards, allegedly. Obviously, there's no blacks up there. He claims that you can't go into a bar and listen to the conversation as a fly on the wall for over 30 seconds before you hear them make derogatory remarks about Indians, or excuse me, Native Americans. And so that's the thing. That's what he is upset about. And they said, well, what are you doing about it? And he said, well, I can't do anything. I can't change the heart of a 45-year-old redneck. I actually have a picture of Brian Schweitzer in his promotional tour to Minnesota, excuse me, to in Manhattan, in New York City. And I've got a picture of him standing with a naked cowboy in Times Square. Well, he's not really naked. He is wearing a guitar in the picture, and that's it. So there you have it, Keith. Absolutely amazing. He actually went on CNN's Anderson Cooper show, and they asked him about this, and he didn't relent. In fact, he doubled down and even added on more insults towards the white voting base of his state. So make sense of it for me if you can.
Well, what makes sense of this is the abiding deep fault line in America between red state and blue state America. Now, why the good people of Montana would ever elect a person that despises them to this extent is a mystery to me, a total mystery. Again, never make a gesture, never extend an olive branch to the left, to the Democrat Party, because it will be thrown back in your face each and every time. Now, they're talking about Montana, not Mississippi here. And this is a guy with a name, the suspect name of Schweitzer, who is going to New York, where apparently his soul resides. He may have been put out there by the elite in this benighted outpost called Montana, but he, you know, he apparently has no good thoughts whatsoever in his soul about the people of Montana, the people that elected him. The fact that people would vote for a person and have no more insight into his character than to elect a person that hates them to this degree is really kind of startling. It shows the brainwashing that has occurred to the American, to the white American public. Believe me, black people, if let's say this was a black governor of a state that had a sizable black population, and he made comments like that about black people in his state, believe me, that guy, I wouldn't give you $5 for him surviving the month. You know, this is the craziest stuff I've ever seen. Why in the world do white people and why in the world do red state Americans tolerate leadership like this? I mean, you know, that should be grounds for impeachment, James.
Well, you would think, but again, the way political correctness is currently structured, you can abuse, slander, libel, do anything you want to the founding stock, to the dispossessed majority, and you get a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's a complete and total free pass from the media, from white people themselves. I mean, they don't even have enough courage or gumption to stand up for themselves. We're trying to do, you know, we're lighting a candle now at the beginning of each show. It's almost symbolic here in the studio. We're lighting a candle because we are that one flickering candle in an otherwise pitch-black media world, Liberty News Radio, the political cesspool, what Sam Bushman's doing, for this line of thought. We're it. And we're hoping that this one flickering candle that our people have in the mainstream media, with this network and this show, will one day light a fire that'll never be extinguished. But this is it, folks, and we're here doing our work, and the days are wicked, the righteous are few, but we do what we can.
This is Zionist occupied government, Zionist occupied media. Believe me, there would have been a total vaporization of this governor had he made comments similar to the ones he made about the good white Gentiles of red state Montana. If he'd made those comments, or even comments, you know, one-tenth as derogatory about the Sons of Israel, let's say, or Hollywood, or the news media. And of course, the reason he became a minor celebrity because he made these comments is because the Sons of Israel run the media.
And look at it. Yeah, right. I mean, when's the last time you heard about the governor of Montana? Never. I mean, I can almost guarantee you he's never. I probably have more appearances on CNN under my belt than he does. But he got on there, by God. Anderson Cooper had him right on when they found out that he was making disparaging comments towards the white people of his state. And there he was, and he was basking in the glow of the celebrity right there on CNN.
And what is Anderson Cooper? He just recently came out of the closet and told the world that he's a homosexual. So what's wrong with this picture? We have an upside-down world where the new establishment are people that hate the majority founding stock of America, and they're comfortable with every minority group, and now it's cool to be homosexual. You know, is this the America that you want to pass on to your children, folks? If you don't, it's time to do something about it.
Well, Keith, when we come back, you know, he was apparently going to bat for the American Indians, and let's, you know, that's what we'll call them. This whole argument, and that opened up another can of worms, this whole argument about, well, you know, we took the land from the Indians. You know, white people are evil. White people have no rights. White people are illegitimate because we did what other people have done throughout recorded history for millennia. I've got some good talking points about that we're going to get into after this next commercial break. Some good talking points that you can counter when faced with someone that gives you the tired, worn out, you know, whites have no room to complain for anything because we dispossessed thousands of tribes of quarreling squatters. I mean, that's what they were. We're going to talk about it when we come back. Stay tuned.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Peggy Sue.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number three, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. As promised, you know, we were talking about the story a moment ago in which the governor of Montana called the voters of this state, and I quote, I'm quoting him directly, white racist rednecks because of their alleged opinions of American Indians. And it's prompted me to give you a few talking points here for the liberals who may challenge you on that issue. Whites are constantly attacked for, quote-unquote, taking America from the Indians and daring to build a civilization on the land that was once occupied by hundreds of tribes of quarreling squatters. And make no mistake about it, you know, the politically correct myth is that the Indians were here and they were all living in harmony with one another and with nature. And obviously that is complete folly. They fought with each other constantly. And when whites arrived on this continent in the 17th century, they fought with them too. And the stronger animal won, as it tends to happen in nature. But I think the best reply to this attack against us has to include the fact that, as I just mentioned, Indians conquered one another for territory before Europeans arrived, and that the latter only did what humans have been doing for millennia all over the world. And you can reinforce that position by contrasting what the white Christians did with what the Indians did when they conquered another people. There are no mound builders left. The Cherokees and the Creeks simply exterminated them. The Indians did not create reservations or casinos for conquered peoples to enable them to survive and maintain their languages and religions and so on. Only white Christians did this. And since all the Indian tribes in existence conquered and exterminated some other people, if we are to blame people like our ancestors for conquering others, then the clock should start not when we arrived in America, but earlier on. And if that is applied, then the racist, genocidal, xenophobic Cherokees got exactly what they deserve. So, Keith, your thoughts on that, and also how you would answer the whites are evil for this, that, and the other. We did this to the Indians and so on and so forth.
Well, for one thing, let's go right down to the bedrock science on this, which is that two subspecies of any particular animal do not coexist in the same area or range. One either exterminates or drives out the other one. That goes for, you know, virtually everything in the animal kingdom. And it certainly goes for human beings as well. One group is going to be dominant and is probably going to drive out or exterminate the others. The Indians certainly did this. Look at Cortez, who came to and defeated with a troop of, you know, less, I think about 500 men, the mightiest civilization of Native Americans in either the North American, Central American, or South American continents. He did it and was able to accomplish it because the Aztecs were hated by all the surrounding Indian tribes, and rightfully so. Would you not hate somebody who captured your young men and then sacrificed them in bloody human sacrifice where they yanked their still-beating hearts out of their chests? The other Indian tribes hated the Aztecs so much because they had been cruelly treated and defeated by them that they would make they would have gone into a consortium or an alliance with any group to defeat them. And that's, you know, that wasn't an unusual situation. Basically, all of the Indian tribes despised one another, and they were constantly at war. So, you know, white people should not be in a position of apologizing for the fact that they had an advanced and more successful civilization, and it naturally and properly predominated over Native Americans. If Native Americans had stayed in control of the North American continent, the North American continent would be basically a big wildlife habitat now. It would not be sustaining life. It would not have nurtured a first world civilization that has led the world basically over the past, well, you know, century and a half, I guess would be the best way to put it. And it would not be the model that every third worlder, it would not be the paragon that every third worlder wants to go to. We're the attractive destination for all third worlders. Okay. Well, James, let me turn it back to you then. You comment on what I've said.
No, I loved it, Keith, and I appreciate you bringing up the Aztecs, which, you know, growing up, I was always fascinated with Indian culture, for what it was, and, so, you know, the pre-Columbian Central American tribes. I mean, out of the sheer Indiana Jones adventure-like story that it made, it was just interesting. But, yeah, you're talking about complete savages. It was a savage, brutal, murderous culture. And they were not early environmentalists, as Keith is saying over here. What happened was inevitable. I mean, there's no way, if it hadn't have been white Christians coming over here and putting a little law and order on the hemisphere, someone else would have done it, and maybe people who were not nearly as nice. And that's another thing. You know, we've had Dr. David Yeagley on, who is a direct descendant from a prominent American Indian leader. He's a Comanche, and he, you know, has written books about how, when compared to other conquered people throughout history, the way the whites treated the Indians was absolutely number one. I mean, almost with the respect and reverence. Again, you know, the Indians were also very, you know, the whole myth that they came here and, you know, they taught us how to plant, as if Europeans didn't know how to plant. I mean, you know, but, you know, we have named our rivers and cities and sports teams after them. And, you know, we've honored them as a worthy adversary for the time that they were and to the extent that they were. But, you know, the whites bought Manhattan Island. They paid for that. I mean, that's a historical fact. So a lot of this stuff you read is completely, you know, erroneous. But if you'll go and read that article that I put up there or listen to this show, you'll be armed with some good intellectual talking points provided by yours truly and Keith Alexander that you can use to combat folks when they come at you with that to try to make you feel guilty. All right. New show out on the Learning Channel. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. That's the name of the show, Honey Boo Boo. And it showcases white Southerners in the fashion that you would expect from network television. It's basically found this white family in rural Georgia. They are slovenly. They're gluttons. They're basically one of the worst representations of our people that could be found, which I'm sure that's why they were chosen. But you've got a mother. Well, look, I can't even get into it all. Go to our website, click on the Honey Boo Boo article, and watch the 60-second trailer that TLC is using to promote this during its commercial time. A 32-year-old, you know, obese mother. She has a 17-year-old daughter who's pregnant. So do the math on that. She's 32. She's got a 17-year-old daughter. Again, do the math. She's pregnant. They've got four or five other kids. Keith, try to explain this. It's just as bad as you could possibly think, and this is how white Southerners are being portrayed yet again on national television.
And not just white Southerners, but again, as we keep pointing out, red state Americans, red state founding stock people are portrayed in the most unflattering light possible by a channel that calls itself the Learning Channel, TLC. In other words, this is highbrow stuff here. This is what you go, if you want to learn about the indigenous people of Red State America, turn into TLC to get this National Geographic look called Honey Boo Boo. She has more chins than a Chinese phone book. And she's supposedly the laugh line of the modern age. But, you know, I was watching television the other night, and I saw a TV show called Curb Your Enthusiasm, starring the bald-headed little nebbish shrimp, Larry David, who is the creator of Seinfeld, and a good son of Israel himself. And, of course, that show, which is supposed to be cutting edge and cool and everything, shows someone who, at least to my mind, is even less attractive than Honey Boo Boo. Here is this little shrimpy Jewish guy who is bald. He's divorced. He is the most sycophantic man in regard to his ex-wife. Both he and his ex-wife are going to therapists all the time, and they are the biggest wusses that you could ever imagine. Just turn in Curb Your Enthusiasm, and, you know, that's supposed to be something that we look up to and think is cool and great, like Seinfeld is supposed to be. And then this is what we're supposed to be like. Look, we're in enemy-occupied territory. That's all I got to say, James.
We're going to say more right after this commercial break. I promise you, folks, stay tuned.
We'll be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
I was just remarking to Keith that we're really motoring through this first hour, really chewing up some pretty interesting stories, if I do say so myself. The bizarre ad in that Minnesota Senate campaign, which we opened the show with, the Montana governor denouncing the people who elected him, branding them as racists. Some talking points on what to say when confronted with the anti-white argument that we took the land from the Indians. Honey Boo Boo, the new show on TV. Keith isn't done. We're coming up on the what I think could be, out of all of those, the most interesting story. We're about to get into that, but first, Keith wants to pile on Larry David a little bit more.
Well, more than that, I'm just going to do me like a little bee in a bee field and jump from one clover blossom to another. Here's what I was going to say, first of all, about the article about, you know, how you counter this liberal argument that basically white Americans deserve to be dispossessed from their land by third world minorities because we dispossess the American Indians. That's what that is all about, by the way. It's a rationale for this wonderful, blessed day that people like Tim Wise and Jane Elliott are looking forward to in 2042 when whites become the a minority finally, in that blessed day when the liberal plan comes to fruition and white Americans are no longer the majority but a minority in America. Secondly, let's get back to Larry David. Larry David is an unintentional put down of Jews, but it's an hilariously unintentional put down, and you need to tune in to Curb Your Enthusiasm and see how a man should not act. This guy has no testicles, scrotum, or anything else, man. I've never seen a guy who caves in to a woman to a more embarrassing extent than this guy. And furthermore, it portrays this typical, you know, that this is supposed to be some big bongo bucks guy on the West Coast. But, I mean, he can't take a position. He can't stand up to his woman. He and his woman both are totally dependent upon their therapist, who they turn to for life advice on everything. And it is, you know, if this is a portrayal of what blue state America is like, please secede from the union, blue state America. We do not want to be like you.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. We tried that once. Now it's time for them to secede. Well, anyway, all that being said, we were sending out the promotional email talking about tonight's show. We led off with this article. Today, while Barack Obama entertains at the White House, flies aboard Air Force One, and is a friend of film stars and royalty, his brother, George Obama, is to be found slumped in his corrugated iron shack, which even fellow slum dwellers regard as a hovel. A pretty incredible story. Now, this is not something that's being debated. This is Barack Obama's brother, or more specifically, his half-brother, George Obama. This isn't someone that's claiming to be Barack Obama's brother, mind you. There is no dispute to this. Barack Obama has acknowledged George Obama as his half-brother, living in Kenya, living in a slum in Kenya. When Obama goes to Africa, he does meet with him. They talk occasionally. First of all, I'm thinking, you know, if that's my brother, I'm not going to let him live. And a fascinating article written by the Daily Mail out of London, and we've posted it on our website. You've got to read it in its entirety. It's got a photo gallery that'll make your jaw drop seeing how Obama's brother lives. And it's a whole article about his daily life, his day-to-day routine. He is a chronic drunk, this guy. Living in, as they said, accommodations so bad that fellow slum dwellers ridicule him for, you know, what it looks like. And they say he wakes up every day and starts drinking. He drinks some sort of a moonshine that's been known to make people have, you know, basically go brain dead. When it's not mixed right, they mix it with paint thinner and all sorts of chemicals that obviously you're not supposed to be ingesting. And so this is what he drinks. This is his daily routine. He drinks it from morning to night, so the story reads. And anyway, this is it. But a reporter, Denise D'Souza, of all people, found him. He dug him out, sobered him up long enough to get an interview from him, and he was talking about, you know, basically the life of George Obama, Barack's half-brother. And again, as I'm looking at these pictures, as I'm reading this story, I'm thinking, you know, if this was my brother, never would I let him live in a situation like that. If I was Barack Obama, I mean, what kind of man leaves his brother to live and lead that sort of life? I mean, first of all, you know, something's obviously wrong. I don't care who you are. But anyway, during the course of the interview, you get a very intimate look inside the sad life of George Obama. And I take, obviously, it goes without saying, and there's nothing about this that's thrilling to me in terms of I get some sort of satisfaction from this. No one's, you know, I don't get any sort of joy from watching anyone go through that sort of a life. It's horrible. But there was one very interesting thing above and beyond the way this man lives his life and the fact that he's the brother of the president and the president has done nothing to help him. You know, charity begins at home, right? I mean, this isn't even a political issue. You help your family. Anyway, one thing he did say in this interview is that, and again, he lives in Kenya still, and he said that he wished that the British had remained in control of Kenya because Kenya is, quote-unquote, a basket case, and he compared it to South Africa. He said, look at South Africa. Whites remained in control of South Africa into the 90s, and they were, at least at that time, a very developed, productive first world society. Obviously, since the end of that era, South Africa is beginning to look more like Kenya than it once did. But it's very fascinating to see even the president's brothers say that he wished whites had remained in control of Kenya, that Kenya would have been better off if the British had remained in control. So, Keith, your thoughts on that? A little bit of honesty.
Yeah, I tell you what, even a blind hog will find a good acorn every once in a while, and it's wonderful to hear, you know, they say wisdom comes from the mouth of babes. Apparently the smartest guy in Obama's family is not Barack Obama, because his alcoholic, impoverished brother apparently has a better grip on reality than Obama does. In fact, what is so bad about this, and you alluded to it in your commentary, is that Obama is constantly castigating white conservatives for being heartless and not wanting to be their brother's keeper. And then he has a skeleton like this in his own closet. You know, he could break him off $10 a month and send it over there, and he would probably improve his lifestyle 100%. But Obama can't find it in his heart to send his half-brother $10. And help him, you know, you hear these things all the time about, you know, send just $1 will do all this for this poor little homeless child in Timbuktu or whatnot. Well, this is exactly the type of situation that Obama has with his half-brother. And you would think that the man would have enough of a conscience that he would, you know, he could send him $10, $20, $50. And I mean, this guy would be living like a prince over there, but Obama, who wants to spend all of your money, wants to expropriate all of your tax through taxes and otherwise to fund Obamacare, which is basically a transfer of medical care from the older Americans. He's going to raid the Medicare Trust Fund and provide it to younger Americans who tend to be non-whites, Mexicans, blacks, you name it. That's what he wants to do. He and he exhorts you to do this because it's the right thing to do. And you see, when confronted personally with a situation where all he has to do is send $10 a month to this guy, Obama can't be bothered. It shows you the stunning hypocrisy of Obama personally and liberals generally.
Folks, you read one article that we're featuring at our website this week, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Let it be this one. Very, very impressive article about this man's life written by the UK Daily Mail. You can read the entire article and then watch the interview. This is actually a video of him telling the reporter, making the remark about how Kenya would have been better off if whites had remained in control. That's part of a video attached to this article. Keith, we have less than 60 seconds for you to wrap it up.
Well, let me just say this. Why do we have to go to a foreign country to get this type of news reporting? you know, you get better reporting on Jewish power and influence in Israel than you get in America. Likewise, if you want to get the truth about Obama, you have to cast abroad to a place like England, because there's a total news blackout on anything negative about Obama in the American press and media.
That's an absolutely outstanding point, Keith, and very well put. That's something that should be mentioned here, is that this is a pretty significant story, the fact that the brother of the president is living in such squalor, and that the president's allowing him to live in such squalor. Won't lift a finger to help his own blood, and that, again, just the comment in and of itself. I mean, if you could imagine a white presidential candidate saying that Kenya would have been better off if the British had remained in control, they would have been excoriated. The president's own brother says it, and
1 hour
this
down,
has not made any news in America.
Stay tuned.
Completely
hour
shut out, except for here on the political cesspool.
We got to
take a break. We'll be back with the second hour right after these words. Stay tuned.
In the First Baptist Church, in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula, it was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon, and Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the 8th.